Welcome to Blind Bargain's audio coverage of CSUN 2013. Brought to you by...
Are you a professional working in the vision loss field? AFB's e-learning center has the tools and resources to support you. Learn about technology, eye conditions, aging, and more 24/7 wherever you are through AFB's webinars and online courses. Earn credits and enhance your knowledge by visiting www.afb.org/e-learning.
Now, here's J.J. Meadow.
We're here with Earl Harrison, president of Triumph Technology, formerly known as Handytech North America, and here to show us some of the latest in Braille displays and some other things at CSUN 2013. Earl, welcome back to Blind Bargains.
Hey, thanks, J.J.
Sure, of course. We've got a whole bunch of Braille displays here to my right. Why don't you give us a little bit of an update of what is the latest?
Well, we've got here on the table to your right is got a new line of Braille displays simply called Basic Braille from Handytech. And what they've done is they've found a way to come in at a very competitive price while maintaining a very high high standard of quality that we're all used to with Handytech Braille displays. On the table here, we've got a 64-cell Braille display.
Mm-hmm.
It also comes in 80 cells. Those are probably the best values because, again, like I said, they come in a very competitive price.
Okay.
The 64 being about $5,600 and the 80 being about $77.
Okay.
Then we go down to the 40 and the 32, the portable Braille displays, and they are all available in Bluetooth if you want that, even the 80 cell.
Sure. Wow, that's... Wow.
Yeah. And most people would just assume cable up to a computer at that point.
So what this describes is kind of the physical description of how this
most people are familiar with the Handytech curved cells, the concave
mm-hmm.
cells.
Yep.
This is kind of a departure from that in that they're all flat cells.
Right.
Keeps the cost down of producing it. And there are three keys on either side of the Braille array used for command and control.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, there are routing buttons, of course, above each and every cell. And it is in a, the color is it's an anodized aluminum.
Those are big.
Blue.
Those are a lot bigger routing buttons, I think, than... Sometimes you see on these,
right?
They're ovals, little.
Yeah, exactly. But again, it's a very, very good, robust Braille display for somebody who just wants.
It's rather really ergonomically pleasant to the touch.
Thank you. Yeah, it's Velmo Handytech Blue.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the Easy Braille, which is a great Braille display that does have an input keyboard on it.
Is that this one in front of the other one here?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, that does have the curved cells that people are used to with the Handytech Braille displays and the input keyboard.
A regular, two big space bars in the front and the regular Braille keyboard.
Yeah. Now, neither the Basic Braille or the Easy Braille have internal functions, but what we do have here at the table also is the Active Braille, which you guys featured on one of your podcasts a couple years back, I think. But there's a new update about to come out that actually supports the transfer of entire folders of information. So now you can, organize your data in folders on the internal functions of in the internal note taker. And active tactile control is the main feature that Active Braille has that nobody else in the world has, and that is the ability to where it actually senses the location of your fingers on the Braille display and automatically moves.
Mm-hmm.
So they call that bookworm mode. So it's not the kind of thing where you have to set a time interval for it to scroll automatically. It is when your finger actually gets to the end of the Braille line, whether that be a 6-cell Braille line or a 40-cell Braille line, it senses it and automatically moves on, making it possible to read a book from cover to cover without ever having to press a button.
Sure.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the implications for Braille instruction are endless. We came out with a new version 2.7. It's about to come out. It is out. Excuse me. 2.7. Multiple folders. It's got a couple of games on there. One called Braille Hunt, which is a pattern recognition.
Oh, those are always fun Braille games.
And it's Hangman. That's
mm-hmm. That makes sense on
a
Braille display.
Music Braille, so a person can compose a melody on the Braille display for fun. There's a headphone jack on the back, but you can do it using real Braille music code, so you can specify the note and the duration of the note, and when you drag your finger across the display, it plays it back to you.
Wow.
Which is really great for people who might be in music theory classes and trying to learn their intervals.
So these run right on the display that's itself?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And the idea eventually being able to export that to a MIDI file.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's cool. What else?
As far as these displays, the Braille displays, you said Bluetooth, what's the support looking like as far as the screen readers and mobile platforms? Is it pretty much ubiquitous at this point?
Well, you know what? Yes. We are, of course, at the GW Micro booth this year at CSUN. And as far as Windows screen readers go, it is our opinion that WindowEyes does work the best with our Braille displays because, especially in the case of our displays with active tactile control, you can actually use ATC in an Internet Explorer session. You can't quite do that with some of the other screen readers yet. I say yet because that is ever changing. It does work with a Mac. All of our Braille displays are supported on the Mac. And where active tactile control is concerned, we just, with the last 2.7 upgrade, got the ability to have ATC on a mobile phone, such as the iPhone, for example.
Right.
So now I can log on to NFB Newsline if I wanted to and use my rotor commands to navigate from heading to heading and then just start pleasantly reading the news story without pressing buttons. I'm just, you know, when I come to the end of the line, it automatically advances on the iOS device
sure.
as well.
Sure. Speaking of iOS and Apple stuff, you guys are you still involved with a lot of your training initiatives and things like that? How's that going?
You know, we are. We just recently did an iOS class in Minnesota. I am on the road from time to time teaching classes to various rehab agencies on the Mac Academy. We still do have the Mac Academy workbook and study guide that we wrote a couple years back available, and about 90% of what's in there carries over to the latest operating system there. And we offer remote training and support as well. So telephone training on iOS or Mac, we're kind of all over it.
Sure, great. So if people want to get information, so you changed your name back to Triumph, so that you have a new website. And
yeah, you know what? The idea behind that was that we actually started representing some of our competitors' products on a regional level, meaning Minnesota.
Right.
So now I can sell, for example, Humanware and HIMS Braille displays in Minnesota, but nowhere else.
Right.
We're still the master distributor for Handytech. In fact, we started the company 7 years ago. We were Triumph Technology. And when we became the master distributor for Handytech, that became a doing business as name.
Sure.
And then when we started selling these other displays on a regional level, we decided, well, it's the fair thing to do is just change it back to Triumph Technology. And we do have, but all the telephone number is the same, 651-636-5184. The website is AT as an assistive technology, triumph.com. So www.attriumph.com. And if you want to shoot us an email, feel free to do that at info@attriumph.com.
Great. Thank you so much, Earl, for the updates.
Thank you, JJ.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys. Copyright 2013.